Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm David Reed, and with me, as ever, is Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek. How are you?
All right. Hello, David. Hello, film listeners.
Right. Are you okay?
Yeah. What about that, film listeners, for a way of calling people?
Film listeners.
The name for people.
Yeah, we've never really found the collective word for our listeners, have we?
Who cares?
A couple of people, I think, but for not very long in the day. Well, Fandangans.
Chris Webb and friends.
Chris Webb and the Danganites.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're here to talk to you yet again about films. Now, I have been to the cinema to see a new release that I imagine nobody's heard of.
What's it called?
Now, this is a film called Mr. Six.
Never heard of it.
Exactly. Now, this is a Chinese film. I went to a screening in not the Odeon Leicester Square, which can seat almost 1,500 people, but the other Odeon near Leicester Square.
Panton Street.
I went to a screening there, Leicester Square. Guess how much tickets were?
100 yen.
No, they were £6 in Leicester Square. So I went to, which I was very surprised by, but I went there with my brother. And we were the only non-Chinese people in the screen.
John Reid, the Vosball MVP.
From last year, yeah. Last year's MVP. I mean, the season of Vosball hasn't started yet, but I think he's in with a shot to get it 2 years running.
Okay.
But yeah, we went to this film. Small screen, but it's basically, it's a Chinese film about a Beijing aged gangster who has sort of retired. He's a bit sort of like a Bob Hoskinsy figure from the 70s.
Sounds like The Godfather.
No, but he's proper sort of working class, never made it huge, you know, was just a sort of bloke. And he's sort of known in his community but doesn't have much money.
Sort of the earth bloke.
Sort of the earth violent bloke.
But, or salt of the earth.
That's right. I wondered how long it would take until you couldn't help yourself. But his son is kidnapped by...
Your eyes both the blood, blow the bloody doors off.
That's Michael Caine. You're getting very confused.
I'm doing a Chinese
Could
Michael
Caine. Could you not Caine. Remember any Bob Hoskins lines?
Fair Azulus, fathers of them.
That's Michael Caine again. That's Michael Caine.
What did he do in the Long Good Friday? What did Bob Hoskins say? Is it like that?
Yeah, that's right. It is. But his son gets kidnapped by somebody, and so he goes after them. A bit like the Limey in that regard, actually.
Or one of our dinosaurs is missing.
A bit like that, yeah. But it turns out that it's basically a load of spoilt rich kids have... imprisoned is a strong term for it, but his son, because he scratched one of their Ferraris. But so they didn't know they were messing with
an old gangster. I'm definitely on their side.
Well, I tell you what, it's really, really well done. It's not just an excuse for glorified violence. There's barely any violence in it. And his character is basically, again, that mythical film figure of the gangster with a moral code, you know, a code of conduct, the way things are done. And if you disrespect somebody, then you've got to do something to pay that back and all of this. And it's him mixing with the next generation of young punk kids who don't give a damn about anything and just like, oh, ignore it, it'll be fine, and take what they want and never polite to anyone and all of that. And it's the two generations rubbing up against each other is the basic backbone of the entire story. And it's
good criminal, bad criminal.
Well, sort of, but it then gets more real than that, and it's not just about villains and heroes, you know, it's just about people. But it is really well done. It's great. And the central performance is of the character of Mr. Six, which I guess is his sort of gangster nickname.
Yeah.
Is great. It's by an actor called Xiaogang Fen. And he's just excellent. Really, really good. And it's funny at times as well. It's really funny. I mean, I didn't laugh at all of the jokes.
Did it go down well with the audience?
Yeah, yeah, it did. There were moments when everybody laughed and John and I just looked at each other. We're like,
How did you know about this film, man?
Well, my brother has a Chinese friend who actually spent Christmas with us. And she recommended it.
Friend?
So, yes. Yes.
Just friend?
Yes. I mean, this isn't the place to discuss this.
Yeah, it's private business.
Yeah, it's private stuff. But yeah, no, friend. So it was her recommendation. She said all of her friends back home had said it was great. And it was. It was really good. There's something interesting about the way Chinese stuff's structured, because I've seen it before, and it all seems to take far longer to do the same sort of stuff than English language.
What do you mean?
As in, they meander around points rather than they've solidified the story process into, you know, the briefest number of points, whereas theirs seem to take a lot longer. And you get that sort of, yeah, get on with it, mate, sort of in the middle. And I've experienced that a couple of times with actually just sort of East Asian cinema. Mm. But so it's a bit overlong, but you also sort of appreciate that, because you go, well, we're telling our story, this is what our story is, and so we're not going to rush it, because you can guess what's coming, which is sort of, I think, what we're getting to the point of in this country and in America now, of just like, you've seen something like this before, so blah, blah, you know what, basically what we're doing, we'll get to the end.
Yeah.
But it's really good. It's really, really good.
How would you classify it? A gangster thriller?
No, it's not really a gangster thriller at all. That's just what the characters are. I would say it's a psychological drama. It's okay. About an old man coming to terms with his age and trying to reconnect with his son, who he's been a crap father to, basically, is what it's about. But whilst still trying to hold a moral code of conduct when nobody else holds these opinions at all anymore, and basically just bringing rack and ruin down upon himself by holding out as being a bastion of this is the way things are done. And that's really interesting.
I feel a bit like that. Well, without the son.
Without having had a son, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think you would enjoy it for that very reason. Like, it is... You are totally on his side with just how rude everybody is, you know. But it escalates to ridiculous proportions and does get... It's funny. It is very funny at the same time.
Why is it called Mr. Six?
That's the character's name. Like, they all have sort of weird gangster-like names.
Yeah.
That just... I don't know if that's got greater significance in China.
So is there a big sort of... Do they show a lot of Chinese films at the Pantone, then?
I don't know, you know, because it's close to Chinatown, of course. So I wonder if they do... I'll have to keep an eye on
and
that.
And was it full up?
No, and it was a small screen. You know, actually, what did annoy me was... you know that for health and safety, or whatever reasons, they seem to have to keep on a certain level of lighting in the aisleways. This screen at the Odeon, were the... fire escape was by the screen, and so there was a spotlight on in front of me for the entire film.
But you say that, but I think it was in the pitch house, was quite dark. So I've noticed they've got the lights on the aisles, haven't they?
Yeah.
Some things on there. But I remember thinking it was quite dark at a cinema I was going to. I couldn't really see.
Well, the smaller the room, the more these little lights are going to affect it. But it was glaring in my eyes in front of me for the entire film. It was just like, I'm not going to come back here. You know, yeah. It's not good enough.
Poor pants.
Also,
on.
One of the audience members got their phone out to WhatsApp in front of me during the film. Can't stand it when you've got that just glaring at from the other side. Not on. Not on. But no, Mr. Six, it's not a perfect film, but it was a really interesting film. And
how
it was
many
really
Davids?
Good. I think I'd give it seven. Seven
Mr.
Davids.
Six gets seven.
Mr. Six gets seven Davids. Yeah, really good central performance as well. You get everything, you know, it's good. It's really good.
Well, thank you. Thank you, China.
Thank you, China, for producing Mr. Six. Yeah, and if you want an antidote to all of the big blockbusters and just sort of British Oscar fodder, then this is a different, interesting film.
I read an article on the BBC about what's coming up this year in terms of films. All superheroes, all remakes.
Is that right? So what have we got?
I can't remember. I just shut my brain down. It was just literally remake, superhero. There wasn't one mention of a film that's not a remake or some sort of superhero thing. Bullshit.
There's only one superhero film I think I'm looking forward to, and it may be for wrong reasons.
Is that all the bad guy ones?
No, Deadpool is the only one because it's an R-rated one, and it's got a sweary sense of humour and it's hyper-violent. So I just go, well, at least it's going to be different. And he's just a man with swords who can heal very fast.
Well, I'm going to be ignoring them all.
Okay.
So if you want to find out about him, go, get lost. I tell you what it is time for.
What?
Play the jingle. Some people are writing letters. We like reading them out. Well, we've got a letter here.
Yeah.
From Philip Le Shirley.
Philip the Shirley?
Philip, well, if he was French, yeah.
Philip the Shirley.
Philip Le Shirley.
Okay. What does Philip want?
Help for Marek and podcast question. Dear David and Marek, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
The best part of Christmas was your podcast.
Oh.
I mean, he must have had a
terrible
horrific
Christmas.
Multiple family deaths. Here we go. Philip Richelli continues. Oh, I thought you would appreciate this photo of Marek playing his new sports game. This could be used to promote sales of mugs, etc. on the website. Basically, you've sent an email with a visual joke, Philip Richelli.
What is it?
So it's a picture of Boris Johnson playing tennis.
Okay.
And it's a reference to my Wolfsburg website, which my sport I invented, which is lose me money. Anyway, he continues... Also, I enjoyed Dear Zachary, so thanks for that.
You're welcome. That is a film called Dear Zachary that's available on YouTube that is very good. Go find it.
Question for the podcast, please. Do you ever use lines from films in everyday life as part of normal conversation? For example, I use No Shit Sherlock, although I can't remember what film it comes from. Probably a detective film.
It's probably a Sherlock Holmes film, isn't it?
I have also used lines from the Terminators to win arguments. Keep watching the films, Phil.
Well.
You use any? I don't think I do. I don't really like people who quote films.
No.
I remember watching a fight at school.
Yeah.
And one of the kids said, your arse is grass and I'm a lawnmower.
Oh no, I mean that kid's going to get beaten up now.
It was on the Isle of Wight and he was literally about 12, but that's what he said before he got into a fight with someone, like it was cool. What film is that from? Your arse is grass and I'm a lawnmower. I can't remember.
I'm going to look it up, but No Shit Sherlock is apparently originates in the 40s and 50s, 40s, around then, but the first known popular culture use was in Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh really? That's a very good film.
There you go. Good fact as well.
Well, we've looked it up, and what we can find is a film by Tarantino. There's the police. My Best Friend's Birthday, which he made in 1987. It's got a 5.8 in IMDb, and that's one of the quotes. And I think this is one of the films he made before he got famous.
Is it a feature film?
It's 1 hour and 9 minutes.
And he's the director?
It's the first film by Quentin Tarantino, and he also stars in it as well.
Well, there you go. But no, I don't think I use film quotes. I think they stand out like a sore thumb when you use them, don't they?
Yes, you look like a knob. I look like enough of a dick anyway about doing that.
I think I occasionally say, clever girl, when, to patronise men when they you know, pull a trick on you.
I do like... The only one I like to say is, it puts the lotion on its skin. Which I've said.
But that's
to
only to women down your well, isn't it?
I say that to me. It's quite funny to say that to a girl
when she's at the bottom of your well.
No, just it at the wrong moment because it's weird.
Or else it gets the hose again.
It puts the lotion on its skin.
Or else it gets the hose.
I didn't say the hose bit. All right. Well, that's the end of the letter section.
Right.
Yeah, that's it for letters.
We're
really low on letters.
We are low on letters. So if you'd like to write to us and have it read out on the show, then please email us. DearFilmFandango@gmail.com is the address. If you'd like to post any links to one another, because we can't really read out links on the show, then do that on Facebook.com/FilmFandango. Or you can tweet us if you want to just sort of babble back and forth. At Film Fandango, at Mr. David Reed, or at Marek Larwood. So, Marek, you have also seen a film this week.
It puts the lotion on its skin.
Okay. That film was?
It's thingy, isn't it? Science of the Lambs.
I don't know what that is. What film have you got to see?
Oh, right. I didn't go and see a film.
No?
I watched a film at home.
In one of the weirdest double bills of all time, Mr. Six, and
I thought I fancied a Hitchcock film, so I looked at one he hadn't watched, and allegedly he said in an interview that this was his favourite film.
Hang on, I thought you watched a different one first.
Oh, sorry, I was going to talk about Diana.
Diana, the film about Princess Diana starring Naomi Watts.
But I think I've watched half an hour of it, and I couldn't get through it because it was so shockingly bad.
What do they focus on? Is it the romance of her and the tragedy?
It is incredible seeing Naomi Watts do a really bad job of what it looks like. I will watch it properly and review it properly.
Yeah.
In the first half hour, there's clearly a lot of money gone into it, but every scene is rushed. Because, you know, working in films, and we have, believe it or not, had experience of acting in things, it takes a long while to set up a shot and light a shot.
Yeah, yeah.
And I really noticed this film jumps all over the place, but they're almost... To set up a shot takes about 3 or 4 hours to do it, to light a scene properly, especially for a film. It must take a long time. They're literally jumping from shot to shot. As if it's, you know, when you watch action films now, and then you watch an action film from the '70s, and the amount of time it takes between each cut has got shorter. So our attention span.
Well, it's not just our attention span; it's the fact that they don't put in the rehearsal time and the quality of performances, so they cut around it to keep it frenetic rather than just letting you see something that is exciting.
Yeah.
So they tend to cut on the punch. There's a great Jackie Chan interview about this where he says he can't stand it. They cut on the punch to give it that energy, but it just means you never actually see anything land. Mm. Whereas he would punch and then cut to another angle and you'd see the same punch again and then again and again. So you'd get that same impact 3 times. And therefore you get to actually see what's happening. Well, I mean, so often we're just seeing a rather poorly choreographed dance move by move and then they add... sound effects on top
or
of
or car
it.
Chases. A lot of the shots in car chases...
No
are,
clue
are
what's
not
going on.
Not intelligible shots.
Yeah, it's why you really appreciate directors like George Miller who did Mad Max. When they shoot car chases, you just go, yeah, I know exactly what's going on and it's awesome.
50% of car chases are unwatchable. It's just like braking, indoors, wheels turning, shots of windows.
Awful.
Don't make sense.
Have you seen Ronin? A film that has...
That's quite good for car chases, isn't
but
it?
But the car chases are sublime.
Yeah, I remember thinking it was really good. I thought of Ronin as you said it. Anyway, so think of watching an action film.
Yeah.
Then applying that cutting thing to a slow drama.
About Princess Diana.
And they're just shots of her... Suddenly it'll cut to her running in the park with about 3 different setup shots in 5 seconds. And there's no relevance of her running in the park at all. It'll go her walking to a stately home. It'll be half conversations. As if you think the film's about to start.
Yeah.
Sorry, you think it's the start of a scene, but that is the scene. I can't explain it. And she goes to, basically, this is after she's divorced Prince Charles, and this is it starts with the tunnel in Paris, and it's sort of the flashback of her last couple of years leading up to those events when she right. died. And I'd never heard of this story before. Apparently, she falls in love with a doctor. The bit I got to, this is Princess Diana. She falls in love to a doctor. She just turns up to a hospital because she's seen her to flirt and says, "Oh, I like hospitals." And she's walking around with him, having this inane conversation through these hospital corridors while everyone's going, "Oh, it's Princess Diana," just saying, "Oh, so what do you..." She's like someone who's had lobotomy. They haven't got any of the innocence of Diana is played as if, oh, she's two-dimensional.
How do you justify totally being stupid in this hospital? She could just love hospitals. That's yeah. great. I love it. Let's use it.
She loves her, which is weird. And then he comes round, this Indian doctor, played by some bloke from Lost, comes round her flat. She can't cook, so she's cooked him a pasta, microwave pasta meal, and hopes it's all right. I mean, she's basically almost plays as if she's this 12-year-old idiot girl.
Yeah.
And she falls in love with a man, this is why I stopped watching it, who comes round her house, says he doesn't like the food, asks her if he's got any booze, asks if she minds whether he smokes, and whether she's got a TV, gets her to go out for a Burger King, and sits there, asks if she's got more booze, and makes her watch the football. I mean, that is someone, and at the end of that, which would be the worst first date, i.e., a drunken, bored husband come around and go, "Yeah, I'm going to ignore you and watch TV and get pissed and drink your booze and get you to pay for a takeaway." She does this thing when he leaves, she closes the front door as if she's in a teenage
she's been
romance.
Swept off her feet.
Oh, I can't believe it. He came round, smoked, drank expensive booze, ate a burger, ignored me while the football's on, and now I'm in love with him. As if that was the greatest experience of Princess Diana's life, who's been probably some of the, you know...
I mean, Prince Charles, he could have drunk the finest boozes and ate at the finest Burger Kings he ever chose.
But it was just a total mess, but yeah. I will carry on watching it, so...
But that's interesting. How many films do you reckon you've quit halfway through before?
A few. I do it with the mentality of... I walked out of The Mummy 2, I think it was. Because I hated it so much.
Oh, I mean, you should watch The Mummy 3. It gets even worse.
It was one of the moments. I don't know. I walked out of that, but I don't. Won't often.
The Mummy 3 has CGI yetis doing the field goal symbol. It's really trousers. I walked out of Batman and Robin, but my girlfriend at the time was bored, so that's sort of fair enough. I turned off Captain Corelli's Mandolin after watching it on DVD after 15 minutes. I just couldn't stomach it anymore. It was so bad. Nicolas Cage film as well.
Yeah.
I couldn't stand
it. Well, the thing is, doing this, you can normally talk about it. The reason I started watching it late and I thought I would get back to watching it ahead of the podcast, but I just could not be asked to find the hour.
Yeah, yeah.
But I will. I will do a proper review. We should both force ourselves to watch Diana. So instead, I watched. I fancied watching an old Hitchcock film. I watched Shadow of a Doubt, and it stars. Here's the basic story: is there's an uncle who's in trouble for some reason. You don't know what it is at the start. He's played by Joseph Cotten, who you probably will recognise.
Yeah, what do I know Joseph Cotten from?
The Third Man.
Oh yeah, of course.
He's got a very familiar face. He's in Magnificent Ambersons. Quite a lot of stuff. That sort of 30s and 40s star. Anyway, he goes back to visit his... He's trying to escape from these policemen who are after him. And he goes back to this sort of innocent American town where he's called Uncle Charlie. And he goes to see his family. And particularly his niece is also called Charlie, who thinks she's got some sort of connection with him because she's just projecting this perfect uncle thing onto right. him, and they're all quite sweet and innocent, but he's bad and he's done something, and slowly the young Charlie, his niece, finds out that her uncle isn't who she thought he was. He's done something bad.
Oh, wow. The loss of innocence.
What I find refreshing about watching these 1940s films,
yeah,
is how innocent and pure everyone is. I mean, they're like the Diana. I don't believe Diana, I'm watching Diana being innocent, pure now, but then you can sort of believe it. Everyone's quiet, even this young Charlie's probably about sort of 20 years old, 21 years old.
But as soon as people watch 4 hours of television a day, there's not an innocent person left on earth, is there?
I mean, it's something really refreshing about seeing everyone walking around smartly dressed in suits, everyone being really polite, probably like Mr. Six's old life. I just think, and you see all the, I know it's a film and so everything's great, but you see all the old cars, you see the old buildings, everything looks beautiful. I know it's Hollywood, so it's not fair. But I just watching it, and I said to my girlfriend, I thought, God, things do seem as if they've got a lot worse in the past 70 years. Because everything's just, has this nice, innocent feel to it. Which, even though she's supposed to be sort of a thriller-ish, it's nonetheless uplifting. You know, I can't explain it. It's the innocence.
Sure.
It's just nice watching, nice clothes, nice cars.
It's a romantic era, you mean?
Yeah, even though it was, you know, during the Second World War. The young child is played by Theresa Wright, who you may recognise from a few old films. Her dad, and this bloke called Hume Cronin or something. He plays one of the old men in Cocoon.
Okay.
And he's in Batteries Not Included.
Yeah.
This is him. I recognise him. Oh, that's him as a clear, you know, that's him 40, 50 years ago when he was
young. Oh, my God. But for a time in the 80s, he was the wrinkly old man.
Yeah. You can see him as a young bloke when he's friends with young Charlie's dad, and they just
always him and Jessica Tandy, wasn't it, in everything?
Yeah.
Well, I say everything, the Cocoon movies and Batteries Not Included, but they were a pair, definitely.
He even looks sort of old then, do you imagine him old?
Right.
But they have a nice sort of subplot when they're talking about how to commit the perfect murder and how they kill each other. So basically, it's all about young Charlie finding out her uncle's dark secret, while the rest of the family think Uncle Charlie's still really, really great and lovely man, even though he says some quite horrific things and has some really violent mood swings. And then these detectives come into town and they're trying to persuade young Charlie to tell them what they found out about him. I do not think this is a sort of classic Hitchcock. It's nowhere near the same calibre as The Birds or Psycho or
Vertigo.
I'm not a big fan of Vertigo. Frenzy I really loved, which I watched last year.
Rebecca.
Yeah, I don't think it's up there with them, but it's just nice to watch. It's nice to watch a solid film which has got... it's ridiculous that... It does feel it has plot holes where the central character is acting really horrifically in front of the mother, and yet she's completely ignored it. She's beyond innocent, almost being lobotomised. But I really enjoyed it. So if you fancy watching an old black and white film, you can try and find a Hitchcock cameo, which is quite subtle in this one.
Okay.
I recommend it.
What's it called again?
Shadow of a Doubt.
Okay. Cool.
I'll give it 6 Marics, maybe 7.
Okay. And what would you give the first half of Diana?
Two.
So it might get more if it really pulls it out of the bag and it turns out it was all Charles's dream.
Let me look up the Diana. For anyone who's seen Diana, I'd like to hear your opinions of it. Currently on IMDb, it's got 5.5.
Wow. That's, that's nearly as high as Untouchable from last week.
No, that's got 8.6 on IMDb.
Has it? I'm thinking Metacritic, where it's a 5.7. All right. Well, that's us for this week. We'll be back next week with more films. Last thing to say is we do this podcast for free, and apart from sporadic and occasional sponsorship, We have to shoulder all of the cost. So if you have enjoyed the show and would like to help us out with that, then please go to filmfandango.co.uk and follow the links from there. And everyone who has, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll be back next week with more films. Keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.